Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
See ya. The George Washington Foundation, Ferry Farm in Kenmore, our focus this morning, and the holidays. This is always a fun show because there is a lot going on with the George Washington Foundation over the holidays, and we are going to talk about it. Dave Maraca is here, and Allison Ellis here from the George Washington Foundation. Good morning to both of you. Good to have you here this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Good morning.
This was, Allison, this past weekend, this was the, and I missed it, and I wanted to go to it, and I missed it, but over at Kenmore, you could walk through Kenmore by candlelight. I saw some pictures that you all put on your Facebook page and that others posted. It looked terrific.
Yeah, Night in Washington's Day was this past weekend. It's an annual event that we do at Kenmore every year around the same time, early November. And I've been switching it up for the past couple years, and this year I think went off really well. We managed to open up another room of the house lit by candlelight, like you said, and people really, really enjoyed it. So this event is just meant to give you a good idea of what night would have been like at Kenmore in the 18th century, seeing perspectives from the Lewis family, the gentry class, and then the enslaved population as well who lived and worked there. And it was just an incredible event. The weather was perfect. Yeah. We had a beautiful night, and I thank everybody for coming out. It was a really great success this year.
You do get such a different perspective of that house. Really any colonial house, but especially Kenmore and all the history there, to see it at night and to see it candlelit and to see people around and to see everyone dressed in costume. You ought to do that. I mean, I know a lot of people that do it and walk away from it and say that they have a whole new feel for what colonial America was like.
Yeah, it's both aesthetically pleasing and also really eye-opening because it's a side of museums that you really don't get to see on a daily basis. If you go for a tour of Kenmore, you just see it in the daylight. But you get to see it lit by candlelight. And when I walked into the house after our curator had set up, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so dark in here. Like, you have to give yourself a moment to adjust to the lighting because you don't realize how dark it is when you are just lit by candles. And also how much effort it takes to light a room by candlelight. It's not just like you can walk into a room nowadays and flip a light switch and you're good to go. You're good to go about your business. If you wanted to walk into a room night in the 18th century, you had to go through the process of lighting all these candles or having your enslaved person light candles enough for you to be able to go about your business and use the room as we would now. So it's just really eye-opening and a really fun experience for a lot of people that don't get to go into Kenmore at night, like on a daily basis.
I never thought of that. It does take more than just a few candles to be able to do what you do. I didn't even notice that. I just looked at just kind of the ambiance of the whole thing. But it would take a lot of candles, especially those rooms so they're large rooms and high ceilings.
Yes, exactly. So it's really a good experience to really think about it and put some thought into not only just seeing the aesthetics of Kenmore, but also the kind of utilitarian side of lighting at night.
And Dave, I would also guess that when you do something like that, you see with candles and all, you understand why fires were so prevalent back in those days.
Yeah, so in the 18th century, a lot of things catch on fire. And if you think about sort of open fires, there's a fire in the fireplace almost all the time in people's houses. They separate the kitchen, and so it's a separate building, and it has its own fireplace. And then you put candles everywhere or little oil lamps, and there is open fire everywhere, and then you add alcohol, and it's a bad combination.
Yeah. Boy, you're right, and that's why when you're doing digs, you often find you can point to places there was a fire. There was a fire here. There was a fire, you know, later on.
Right. We've uncovered the evidence of two colonial fires at Ferry Farm. Kenmore was lucky. It didn't experience a fire. But my favorite story is Williamsburg. They built a building specifically to hold the colonial records, and they didn't put any fireplaces in it, and it burned down too.
Wow, it just goes well. And Allison, you and I did the we did a video in the fall about from the kitchen at Kenmore, and I guess I never think of that though, that would be, you've always got fires there, and those things, I would think the kitchen area would really be susceptible.
Oh yeah, there's a reason that kitchens are separate from the main house when you are wealthy enough to afford a separate building. The original kitchen at Kenmore was a wooden structure, and we know that because we do have a photograph of it from around the Civil War. Currently, it stands as a brick building, but it's pretty miraculous that building that was a wooden kitchen stood for about 100 years, or almost 100 years, because that, you know, your kitchen basically burnt down all the time. That's just part of colonial life. So there was a fire in the kitchen pretty much all the time, 24/7. There was the fire or warm coals that could be relit because you're always cooking on a big plantation like Kenmore.
Well, when you get a chance, and when these programs come up, take advantage of them, because, and boy, this past weekend, like you said, the weather, I mean, some years, some of these, it can be really cold for some of these nighttime tours this time of year at Kenmore. But when you get a chance, go through them.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Night in Washington's Day is a great experience. We also had a fire outside, so you could warm up by the fire. So Night in Washington's Day and also Twelfth Night, which is coming up in January. Those are both times to experience Kenmore in the evening and see it in a whole new light, as I like to say.
Quick break. We're going to come back with Allison, Dave Morocco with the George Washington Foundation. Lots going on over the holidays, and that's what we're talking about this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Lots going on this time of year, and we're talking about it with the George Washington Foundation, Kenmore and Ferry Farm. And the website, you better tell me.
Kenmore.org.
That's not what I was thinking, but it is literally that easy. Kenmore.org for all kinds of information. And there really are a lot of things going on this time of year. Couple of things. I know that you have like workshops for like gingerbread houses, and I even think is there a wee Christmas one?
Yes. So we have two workshops we do every year. We have volunteers that come in and instruct our workshops. They're basically professionals in their respective categories. They're both on the same day. The gingerbread house workshop and the wee Christmas miniature making workshop are on November 16th. The gingerbread house workshop is sold out, I will say that. So we are full at capacity for that one. But the wee Christmas miniature making workshop does have a few spots left, okay, I believe. That's at 1 p.m. on November 16th at Kenmore. So you can come in and make a miniature room box. It's really fun because you can make dollhouses and room boxes out of pretty much everything and anything. But this is made in an actual little gift box that you might buy to put a gift in. And you get to make a little holiday scene. Our leader of that workshop puts in exhibits every year for the Wee Christmas actual exhibit. And she's incredible. She has all kinds of tricks of the trade, and she can make all kinds of different things out of the teeny tiniest pieces of things that you might think of as trash, but she will make it into something incredible. So she has all kinds of tricks and tips that she can tell you, and she instructs you step by step into making this room box. And then she also has some little take-home activities that you can do on your own time to help improve your own room box. And once you finish your room box, you can actually put it into the exhibit if you'd like. You can either put it into the exhibit for the month of December, or you can bring it home and use it as your own Christmas decor. So it's a really, really fun time. I always help out with that one because I love a hot glue gun and I love to craft. So it's just a really fun couple of hours that we just we just hang out and do some crafts.
Well, and if you can kind of learn a skill that either you can use around your own house or use for gifts or that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Things like this make perfect gifts for the holidays. If you know somebody that loves little crafty things, you can make things like this all the time. If you have the time and the want to do something like that. It is a really fun, just little way to make things out of something else. It's just a really great activity.
We'll get into it after the break. We'll talk more about Wee Christmas, because that's a really interesting every year during the holidays over at Kenmore. We'll get into that. But gingerbread houses, and as you said, and every year the gingerbread house workshops that you have, those sell out every year, and usually right away.
Pretty quickly. They are very popular. People love to learn how to make those gingerbread houses. It is a skill that I do not possess. So I totally agree. I'm like, if you want to learn some of the tricks of the trade, it's a great opportunity to kind of dip your toe in. We provide all the supplies, so you don't have to do anything in advance. And then our workshop leader also has little templates. So if you want to go home and build another gingerbread house, she gives you the templates to be able to create the pieces out of gingerbread yourself. So we're really setting you up for success if you're looking to enter something into the gingerbread house contest.
So the gingerbread house contest, usually there's a theme. Is there a theme this year?
Yes, it is holidays past, present, and future. So playing off of the Christmas carol, the Christmas story kind of thing. So the theme is pretty loose, so feel free to interpret it however you want. If you want to do all three, the past, present, and the future, or if you just want to pick one, it's kind of up to your interpretation and however you interpret that in your head and can create into gingerbread. So I think that's kind of the most fun that we have with creating the theme. We love to see how people interpret it and kind of want to create for this contest.
It is a really popular contest, there's always some really good entries into the contest.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, this is a skill that I do not possess, to create things with food. But my first year, we had a really difficult theme. It was the architectural wonders of the world, and people did amazing things. But we had fewer entries because I think people were a little bit intimidated by that. But last year, it was the Critter Christmas theme, and we just were overwhelmed with incredible entries because people could kind of do whatever they wanted and interpret it however they felt. So we had over 50 entries last year, and when I came in to set up the day of the exhibit, I was overwhelmed, and I had to call our buildings and grounds manager and say, hey, can you get me some more tables, because I don't have enough room to set all these gingerbread pieces up. It was just incredible, and to see people walk into the museum over the holiday season and be just amazed and blown away at these gingerbread creations, it's something that I take a lot of pride in as creating this exhibit and bringing all these people together.
Alice, you had them spread out on hallways I didn't even know you had.
I know. I was having to be creative and pull tables and figure out. I ran out of tablecloths, so I was like, okay, we've got to use the red tablecloths out in the lobby, and then we've got to put some behind this wall. And oh my gosh, it was quite a game of Tetris to be able to group all the categories together when I was putting the exhibit together, and make sure all the numbers were at the same entry, at the correct entries, and it all came together perfectly. I think we had just enough space. Not saying that if we had any more entries, I couldn't have made it work, but it was so just incredible to be able to like stand back after we were finished and say, wow, look at what our community has done for us and will do for the month of December. We bring so many people in. It's hundreds of people that walk through our doors to see these gingerbread houses. And it was just seriously so incredible.
Well, I would think holidays past, present, and future will be another one that's fairly easy to come up with with some kind of a theme.
Yeah, that was the goal. I think just if it's holiday traditions that you do now with your family, or maybe something futuristic with robots or something from the past, 18th century or what have you, I think there's a lot of room for people to just create what they feel like.
That's funny. My mind went straight to the Jetsons.
Exactly.
That's where I
immediately went. So the other thing that's maybe drawing the increased number of gingerbread houses is the celebrity judge.
You and I are the celebrity judges, so yes.
Well, I thought we only had one celebrity judge, I'll be honest with you. But yes, you're a trooper for taking that on.
Yes, I think you and I are two of the, I'm surprised that other nonprofits in the area haven't drawn us in. It's tough. It is really tough to judge these things.
It is very, very, very difficult. But you're right. We'll probably get some phone calls.
No, we should. We're available. it is really, really difficult to go around there and try to be. And there are different categories and the things you're looking for. And every year there could be a lot more winners than you have, because they really are good.
And then the other problem is the people that work at Ferry Farm don't always agree with your and my selections.
Oh, I know.
And they want to share with us.
I know.
Well, that's why we have a People's Choice Award. So
there
they can put their vote in and they can put their 2 cents in. That's where
there
they come into that.
And that's what we'll tell them.
No, because we'll go around and you and I will, because last year we did it and Allison, you sort of kind of followed us around and we would say, we think we're going to go with this one. And several times you went, there was just a and then you'd point something out and then we would change our mind again. It is that difficult.
It is, especially in the larger categories with the kind of younger children. It's there's so many entries and they're all so good in their own ways. It's really hard to judge. People spend a lot of time and effort on these entries, and it is truly a terrible thing that I put you guys through to have to pick winners.
But we have the date set, and we're all set to do it in December. This goes way back. I mean, this has been going on. My family did this for years, and we do actually have some kind of a ribbon. Ooh. But I never found it to be that much fun, because we were the family that was doing them on Sunday afternoon, and they were due. Like if they were due at like 5 o'clock, and we were still making them at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so this is the 38th annual Gingerbread 38th. House contest. Mm-hmm. It started over at Kenmore because Kenmore is famous for its gingerbread. So it started over at Kenmore, and I think once we acquired Ferry Farm, it kind of gradually moved over to Ferry Farm in the gallery spaces over there. So it's definitely a longstanding tradition, and our front desk person, Diane, tells us all the stories of all the years that she has seen it. And it's really incredible to see people come back year after year, and they do. It's become a tradition for a lot of families, and I love seeing the faces come back into the gallery with their gingerbread houses and kind of seeing the children graduate from category to category. And it's really a fun tradition for a lot of people.
Well, and if that many years, you'd have kids, you would have adults who they did it and now their kids are doing it, I would think.
Yeah, we definitely have one family at least that she entered it as a child and now her kids are doing it, and she sometimes enters one into the 18 plus category too. So yeah, it's great to see.
I do remember, because when my kids were taking gingerbread houses over, it was over at Kenmore. It's a nice thing to be able to have wee Christmas at Kenmore now and to have gingerbread at Ferry Farm, and that really has become a tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that is our tradition. Wee Christmas has been going on for about 10 years now. So we really have our holiday tradition set here.
And you have, there are rules and there are different things. So there are things to follow. So you do want to sit down and take a look at what you can and can't do. A few years ago, I know you kind of relaxed some things and made it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in entering the contest, you can go to kenmore.org/events. And there's a whole event that is focused on entering into the Gingerbread House contest. We have two different formats for the entry form. You can either fill it out as a Google form online, and all of the rules will be listed at the top of that page, or you can fill out the PDF form, and all the rules and important dates are listed on there as well. And we have relaxed a little bit on our rules, but some rules have gotten a little bit more stringent over the years. So you can use kits. So if you're like me and you're not super skilled in the baking and the decorating, you can use a kit. That is totally acceptable. We do ask that everything be edible. You can use candies with wrappers and things like that if you're interested in doing that, except if you are in the professional category. If you enter into professional, everything on that gingerbread house needs to be handmade. So that means no canned icings, no pre-made kits, no wrappers on the candies, things like that. We also ask that there's no liquids or gelatins on the gingerbread houses of any kind. We do allow electronics, like if you want to put lights on yours, but they need to be battery operated and you need to provide us with extra batteries. So there are a few little rules here and there. Oh, and there is a size restriction, and that is because we have to be able to fit it through the door. So make sure you're following that size restriction and make sure your base is non-collapsible and it's going to withhold some movement, because I have to move these houses and I don't want to have to call you the day of the exhibit starting and have you come and fix it because I broke something because your base collapsed on me. So just make sure you're following those rules. It is for your own good. I'm not just trying to be Scrooged, but it is for the safety of your house and your gingerbread people. So all those rules are on our website, and you can look over those before you start building.
All categories, I mean, the professional category, they are really good.
But
Dave, you and I, we walk around all the time and are always saying, how'd they come up with that idea? What a great idea.
Yeah, so it's people's imagination is just fantastic. And so, and they demonstrate it every year, where there's always surprises. And it's just incredibly creative minds at work in this area.
So be thinking of something. And I see, I have no creativity at all in anything. I can't. And that's why I look at it. I think this is, and I know some people think about this over the course of a year.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of entry forms come in already. And I think my earliest one was in August. It's like people want to enter into this contest and they're like, I'm ready. I've got my idea. I'm putting my entry form in now. It is incredible. People do, and we announce our theme now on July 4th for Christmas in July. So people are always asking me, when are you announcing the theme for next year? July 4th. So be ready. And after that, you can really get to thinking.
Wow, that is a lot of planning. A lot of planning. But the gingerbread exhibit is open through the month of December.
Yes, it is open December 1st through the 30th. And we are closed on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But other than that, we are open every day pretty much. And you can come in and see the gingerbread houses and just enjoy a nice time with your family.
The deadline to drop them off is?
So we are accepting entries Saturday, November 23rd through Saturday, November 30th.
Okay.
So you have the week of Thanksgiving. And once again, we are closed on Thanksgiving Day, but that still gives you quite a number of days to come in and drop it off. And we're open until 4 p.m. So we're not open till 5 right now. We've switched over to winter hours. So we're open until 4.
4 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah.
Kenmore.org for information on the Gingerbread House exhibit that is going on and will be going on at Ferry Farm. When we come back, we'll talk about Wee Christmas and going on, the dollhouses and miniatures at Kenmore. We'll do that when we come back. Allison Ellis is here along with Dave Maraca, the George Washington Foundation, our focus, Kenmore.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA, it's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA, Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dan Rock and Allison Ellis here this morning from the George Washington Foundation as we talk about the holidays at Kenmore and Ferry Farm. Gingerbread at Ferry Farm and Wee Christmas, the dollhouses and miniatures, Allison at Kenmore. This is a whole new world for me. The first time I went to this, I had never paid attention to this. And now, I mean, it's one of my favorite things because it is so, some of these dollhouses are so everything is to scale and just is really good.
Yeah, the incredible detail that people put into this. Like last year we had somebody come in and put their dollhouse in and they had a teeny tiny version of a cookbook that I have on my shelf at home. And I was like, oh my gosh, how incredible is that? That is so great. People just think of every little teeny tiny detail and figure out how to put it into these dollhouses. And it is so amazing. Again, a skill that I could not ever possess to work in such small scale. It's just amazing to see what they come up with.
The rooms are just, so many of the rooms are just, there's chair rail and there'll be carpeting or hardwood floors or, and like you said, there's pictures on the walls. It really is just what a house would look like.
Yeah, they think of everything from the picture frames to the food on the table and the dishes and the furniture. It's really amazing to see everything that they think of.
This gingerbread is through the month of December at Ferry Farm, and then this is at Kenmore during the month of December. Same thing. You can go to, you know, one day go to one day go to the other.
Exactly. So it is December 1st through 30th. Again, we're closed on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but it's the whole month of December, and you can come and see the dollhouses, and we always do a I Spy, so you can try to spot the miniature items from the sheet in the houses, and I make it a little challenging. I always ask the exhibitors when they come in to drop off, is there anything that you have hidden in your dollhouse that you think would be good for the I Spy? And they always have something. They always put little teeny tiny trinkets or treasures in their houses because they know I do the I Spy. So that's always a fun activity to do with the family. And you can even make it a contest between who can do it sooner, who can finish first. It's really great fun.
I've been over there with kids when there are kids, and they have a great time. And if you are coming and bringing kids, or people bring their grandkids, and just really make a memory out of the day.
Yeah, it is something that you don't get to see every day once again. So many dollhouses in one place, and it's people's handiwork. People work all year on these things, so it is a really great sight to see.
My favorite one, my all-time favorite one was the one where they were, it was a theater, and they were showing It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh yeah.
And they had clips of It's a Wonderful Life actually playing. I mean, it's that kind of detail.
Yes.
That the people do. I mean, like you say, people really take this seriously.
Oh yeah, it is a very serious hobby, and the people that are dedicated to it, they dedicate everything to it. So they work on these things and they create the little things. Like some of these things that you can buy pre-made, but some of the furniture and some of the little trinkets and treasures you make yourself. And it is incredible to see people come up with the ideas that go into these houses and these displays of all different kinds.
We don't have to judge them.
No.
Thankfully.
No. There's no competition for the dollhouses. People put way too much work into these dollhouses and their heart and soul. And so I think it's just an exhibition of all the work that they've done over the year.
Oh, there's so many stories, you know, where they're like passed down.
Oh, yeah.
Through families or you know, you worked with you and your dad or your mom did this, and it was just those kinds of things.
Yeah, a lot of the people that bring their dollhouses in, they have people that they knew made the houses themselves, and then they came in and decorated it. And then last year we had a woman who brought her mother's dollhouse in, and she had redone the dollhouse completely except for the kitchen. The kitchen had been left the way that her mother left it. So it's all the stories that go along with these treasures that people really hold near and dear to their heart because they're special pieces of history to them. And it's such an honor that we get to curate this exhibit every year and be the stewards of them to bring them to the public spaces for a month, because otherwise they sit in people's attics and their basements and in their homes. So it's great to get some eyes on them to see all the hard work that they've done over the year/years that they've been working on it.
And it's over at Kenmore too that you have. I mean, it's this belongs to Kenmore, but there's the model of Kenmore that I find just fascinating.
Yes, so we have our own Kenmore dollhouse, and that's how this exhibit got started 10 years ago. This is the 10th year of Wee Christmas.
Okay.
So it's a big anniversary. So we have this Kenmore dollhouse that was created by a woman for her granddaughter because she saw Kenmore and she said, oh, well, I have to make this into my own dollhouse. So she had it specially crafted to resemble Kenmore and the rooms. Of course, it was before the restoration, so the rooms might look a little bit different now. But it is such a special treasure to have in our museum. It's always on display in our museum, and it's furnished, and it is a full scale model. It is beautiful. And this year, to create an interactive, Emma had asked the collections manager Heather if she could take the front of the dollhouse off and open it up for us, so we actually got to see the front of the dollhouse and the rooms that you typically don't get to see. So they're not furnished on that side because they do have furniture for it, but since it's closed off, you don't typically get to see that. But we got to see the front of the dollhouse, which is so cool and so special. So it's definitely a piece that when people come to Kenmore, they remember that there was a dollhouse of Kenmore. So it brings back a lot of memories for people coming to see the exhibit.
I remember the first time we talked about this when it was coming, and I thought, how interesting can this be? And just saw it one time, and I thought, this is really, that does give you a different perspective of things.
It is shocking how amazing it is for people that don't know this world. Like myself, the first time I walked in, I was like, oh my, I cannot believe how great this stuff looks.
Yeah.
And that you spend a long time looking at each individual exhibit, and it's just one amazement after the other.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure to get it in there would just take a lot, would be, I can't imagine how long it would take and to make sure that just to take, you don't just throw this in the back seat.
Yeah, usually people will take most of their furniture out of the house before they transport it. And the fun thing about Kenmore is that the visitor center is underground, so there's no quick entrance into the visitor center. So people can either carry their dollhouse in or they can roll it in on a cart, but we have kind of like cobblestone-y sidewalks and bricks, so it's not a smooth ride. So I always offer to help, but I'm always a little bit terrified I'm going to do something bad and something's going to happen. But it is a stressful day, drop-off day. But once the house is in and it's in place, and just watching people piece the furniture back together and put everything where it's supposed to be is just so fun, because they obviously have a layout. They know where everything's supposed to be. And it is just incredible to watch people just sit there and place everything back into place.
Well, these two things, Wee Christmas and gingerbread, make it part of your holiday routine, no matter what your age. And if you've got kids, you've got grandkids, take them, because you really will make some great memories. And just the kids in both cases will just have a ball.
Definitely. It's so great to be able to hold this exhibit. And if you have a dollhouse or a room box or some kind of small display that you'd like to put onto the exhibit this year, we're still accepting entries. Entry forms are due on Saturday, November 23rd. So you can still enter your dollhouse, and then I'll get back to you after that, and we'll talk about drop-off day and exhibiting your dollhouse. So it is still open, and we're still accepting entries if you have a dollhouse you'd like to display.
Allison, between dollhouses and gingerbread, you are one busy person.
Oh, yeah. It is other than July 4th, this is my busiest time of year. But it's definitely one of the more fun times a year for me because I just get to interact with so many members of the public who are bringing these pieces into display. And it's just one of those joyous things that I get to do for my job. And we're going to start decorating Fairy Farm in Kenmore pretty soon for the holidays too, which is also one of my fun tasks that I get to do, managing programs. So it's definitely busy, but it pays off for sure.
Kenmore.org for all kinds of all kinds of information. So Dave, one of the things when you usually, I mean, there's no more digging right now, and I guess on the archaeology side of things over at Fairy Farm, you're just going through everything that came out of the ground this summer.
So while the dig is going on, all effort is aimed at the dig, and then once it ends, the department goes in a bunch of different ways, and so I am working on a technical report to describe what we recovered. Emma is working on the small finds. Mara is trying to figure out each of our little outbuildings, what the material in it looks like, so that Gretchen will know. That will help Gretchen in trying to figure out how to sort of put what stuff goes in the house and what she needs to get, and so. So everybody is sort of doing their own thing this time of year. And then come to the beginning of next year, then they all start to re-come together and start to work on the preparation for the dig. So it's a very exciting time in our department, but it's not one particular thing that we're doing right now.
So I guess the two buildings that we all saw really come together this year, the slave quarters and then the cellar, more things will be added as you understand the time frame and what was there. So things will be added to it in the days ahead.
So Gretchen will go ahead and put in she will put reproduction furniture and things that you would find in both of those buildings. And for the cellar house, it will be items that you're used for storage. And so there'll be barrels in there, and there'll be all kinds of storage jugs, and there could be glass. And so all these things that are designed to hold the fruits and vegetables that need preservation, you know, that you want your fresh foods to spoil. And so the colonials knew that, and they knew ways to sort of extend the life of all those things. And sometimes it's putting them in the pit in the ground, which is cool and dry. Other times it's sort of just the building itself protects them from outside animals sort of getting in. And so the purpose of that building is protection. The other building is a slave quarter, and it was the home to a family of people that were domestic workers in the Washington House, and it is designed to keep them out of the weather and keep them. There's a fireplace, and so you can cook and try to stay warm. It's a very basic building. There's not a lot of amenities in it. And then the furnishings will reflect sort of 18th century life for enslaved people. And so you get to see the contrast between sort of the material world of the Washingtons versus the material world of their domestic enslaved families that worked there.
They are two buildings that just so complement the main house.
Right, and then this year's dig is the kitchen, which is located between them. And so when that goes back on the landscape, it is going to be incredibly dramatic, because that will have a working fireplace as well. And so, and then it will allow us to do indoor cooking at Fairy Farm, and do demonstration cooking at Fairy Farm, and everybody at Fairy Farm is super excited about that building as well.
Oh yeah, super exciting from an education standpoint.
And boy, it really will. And as you talked about that, I just think of how well you told the story when there wasn't a house there. Even when you were looking for the house, you've been able to tell stories. But as each of these pieces comes together now, That area is just has really become a working area and kind of in a must see kind of place.
So when we started, there were no built landscapes, and it was just a grassy field, and so you had to use your imagination.
Yeah.
And the Park Service did a really great job of sort of preparing people for that with the battlefields. They don't try and put the battlefields back, and they just want you to sort of envision how it was going. And because the Park Service had done such a great job of sort of preparing people, when people came to Ferry Farm, they could envision it. And we used to talk about, well, these are the landscape elements that the Washingtons would know. The road is 18th century. The river is there. This terrace is there. We don't have to do that anymore. Now we can sort of say we have a built-in, you know, a reconstructed landscape for the period of the Washingtons. Now, if you're interested in the other people that lived at Ferry Farm, you have to go back to that and sort of imagine, trying to imagine them. And yeah, as we put a visitor center on our landscape, then we will have exhibits for all those other unbuilt landscapes. And so it'll be a great way to interpret that. And so lots and lots of really great things coming up at Ferry Farm in the near future.
Wow. I mean, I think what you have right now is so great. But as you describe all of this, and especially with the kitchen really will be another one of those things that, like you say, that you can
right,
do and explain so much.
Right. And then the other thing that happens is, you know, right now we're in the world of domestic work when we're digging, but we've also wandered into the world of agriculture. And so we're going to put those buildings back as well. By the time it's done, there should be up to like 10 buildings that support, you know, that farm. And so the corn crib is coming, the barn is coming, the stables is coming. And then way down the road, you know, we'll dig the garden. There's a kitchen garden out there and there's an orchard, and we'll dig both of those. And so it is going to be really different looking than the day that we started in the 1990s.
Yeah, wow, I'll say. And I saw Allison the other day. I went by there, and there were a bunch of buses, and I have never seen so many kids.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about this, but boy, there are big groups that come.
We are so busy with school groups right now. Our new school and youth programs manager has just hopped right in, and his staff is a well-oiled machine, and we get hundreds of kids every week coming through on the school buses, and we see so many faces and children coming through, and our school program is really great to show how George Washington's life here at Ferry Farm influenced his life later, leading up to him being Commander-in-Chief of the Army, leading up to him being President. And it's such a great experience to be able to bring these kids out and have such a hands-on experience with our educators. So we love having school field trips every day. We love to be busy. So it is so amazing to see buses and children out there.
Kenmore.org for more information. Allison Ellis, Dave Maraca here from the George Washington Foundation, Ferry Farm, and Kenmore. And we'll conclude by, again, running over real quickly what is happening during the holidays at both spots on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave Maraca and Allison Ellis here this morning with the George Washington Foundation, Kenmore.org. Christmas stuff, Allison is here, and you still have time if you want to get your stuff in. Mm-hmm. For both gingerbread or Wee Christmas.
Yep. Dollhouse entry forms for Wee Christmas are due on Saturday, November 23rd by 5 p.m. And then gingerbread house drop-off and entry forms, they come in together, so you don't have to enter in advance. Those drop-offs at Ferry Farm are going to be Saturday, November 23rd through Saturday, November 30th. And, of course, we're closed on Thanksgiving, so you've got a week to get them in.
And if you're interested in No matter your age, or if you've got children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews, take them by. These are really memory-making situations.
Yes. So both exhibits, Wee Christmas at Kenmore and the gingerbread exhibit at Ferry Farm, are open December 1st through the 30th. And I will also mention quickly that we have a mini mornings that's around the Gingerbread House contest. We have a whole program, and that'll be on December 12th. So look out for tickets on our website for that. If you have a preschooler that's interested in coming to the Gingerbread House contest, and you want a little bit of structure surrounding the visit, but the exhibits are open to everybody the whole month of December. So definitely come on in, bring the kids, bring the grandkids, and just have a good time.
Can't believe the next big thing we start talking about is President's Day at Ferry Farm. So, wow.
We'll have to figure out how old he is.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that before we get on the air so we don't have to do math.
Last year we had a tough time. Again, kenmore.org. Dave Maraca, Ellis, thank you both. And we will see you soon. And I may not see you if I don't see you before the holidays. Happy holidays.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And we'll get together and talk about this real soon. Thanks so much. Kenmore.org. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.